This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
This morning, I walked into church. Jill said to me, I think we need to do the message first and worship at the end. I went, yep, you bet, let's do it. So that's why we're seeking Him and we're being led by Him this morning. And I want to be led and be aware of His presence in here. For me, I can feel His heartbeat. Even as I'm standing here, I can feel an increased presence of the heartbeat of God. And it's my hope that each of you can as well. Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge Your presence. Will You come and touch our hearts in this place this morning? I know one thing I say, I'll give You permission, Father, to actually do it, but actually as I struck with that, You have to be the one that gives permission for God to actually come and touch your life this morning. So I'm going to take 30 seconds. Will you just have 30 seconds with God before we get into the Word? For you just to have a heart moment with the Father. Do you give Him permission to speak into your heart this morning, to speak into your life? Are you going to actually trust Him with everything? A probably more appropriate title for my message this morning is Bring a Sacrifice of Praise. In fact, Steve, if you're going to put a title on that disc, just put that as the title, please. Bring a Sacrifice of Praise. Let's take 30 seconds just to meet with the Father individually. And everything to You. And I ask, Father, will You answer the prayer of John 17? Will You restore our union with the Father? Restore our union with You. Increase our awareness of Your presence. Increase the revelation of who You are to our heart. And we just bless Your name this morning. One of the things that I've said on a somewhat regular basis over the last little while is that if you don't like worship in church, you're going to hate heaven. And I felt like God said, it's time to put some scriptural references so that people know that it's just not a saying. It's in here. Isaiah 60 was one of the first passages where Isaiah has this encounter with the Father. And he comes in, he goes, woe is me. I'm a sinful man. But what's happening in the throne room is that the angels are worshipping and they're praying and as they're declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They weren't singing it passively. They were not the church of the chosen frozen. They were passionately worshipping to the point that the throne room shook and filled with smoke. And this is the angels that are in the presence of God 24/7 and they can do one thing and that is worship Him. I am compassionate this morning and I'm not going to apologize. Because as I've read this, this has done something deep in my heart. That if we're to be a worshiping community, We've got to get over ourselves and be more passionate about Him than anything else. And we go to Revelation, and John has an encounter. He's brought into the throne room. If you want to read it during the week, it's in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. He's brought into the throne room. He has this open vision before him. And what does he see? He sees the living creatures. And what are they doing? Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered their eyes all around, even under their wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Their next response, "You are worthy, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being." That's you and I. That's the animals and everything that. But the uniqueness of us is that He has breathed life into you and I. And His Spirit dwells in us. I said to the worship team beforehand, I do not want to ever stop worshiping our God. I don't want to hear rocks worshiping Him because I'm being silent. I don't want it to be left to the rocks. I want to worship Him. I want to be known as a worshiper. I want that to be at the forefront of everything I do. And it isn't just coming to church and singing a song. Some of you know my story, some of you don't. But 12 months ago, and I've said this a couple of times this morning, 12 months ago I thought I'd lost everything that was valuable to me. Everything. On a personal, professional, 12 months ago I was a mess. And it's probably been one of the hardest 12 months of my life because I've gone and you've heard me talk many times about the fact that I've been in counselling and those things, and it's been on a weekly basis for over 12 months now of seeking God's heart to get the healing and to get the breakthrough that I so long for in my life. And it took me to get to breaking point to get there. But I can say 12 months ago to now, our God is extraordinary. Has it been easy? No, it's been hell on earth. Honestly. But I ask God for a word each year on the 1st of January. And His word for me this year was that it was going to be a restorative year. And I went, that's good. And I'm walking and living it out. And I can tell you one of the keys, one of the most important things that I ever did was worship. Worshipping with others. Worshipping on my own. Putting a song on when all I wanted to do was yell at God. But He was actually calling me to say that. That's why I love your goodness of God, or you are worthy of it all. Because sometimes it's the only song I can sing. You are worthy of it all. Even if it all falls apart and I've got nothing left, He's worthy. Because who knows that sometimes singing a worship song is actually the last thing we want to do. I can tell you that's the truth. But it's the most powerful thing we can do. to cry out to God. If you go on into Revelation chapter 5, here's John, and here's the scroll, and he's weeping because there was no one worthy. But then they read, oh yes, there's one. There's one worthy. And what's the response? And they sang a new song. Who sang the new song? We'll go back to verse 8. And when he had taken it, meaning the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. You hear that? Our prayers are incense. Our prayers are not just hitting a ceiling and bouncing back. They're being kept and they're being brought to the throne of God. That should give you a lot of hope. And it should drive us to our knees to seek Him and to be worshipping Him in everything we do. Not just coming, God, I just need a car park today, although there's times when I've done that and He's answered my prayer. It's that cry of my heart, God, everything in my life is falling apart right now. I give You everyone and everything, and I want the union with You. Because if everything falls apart, I've only got You. Oh, that's right, I've only got You. And as we put our eyes and our attention only on Him, He restores the rest. How many of you ever experienced that you've had dreams, things that you wanted to be able to do, you've tried to make them happen, and they've all turned to rubbish? And then God goes, cool, I can take that now. Are you going to give it to me? And then He restores it better than what it was. He wants to do that in your life, and He wants to do it in mine. He wants to do it in His church community. He wants to do it everywhere, right across our land. But sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. Why? You are worthy. And the response was, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God. Persons, you and me. This is the song they sang. Persons from every tribe and language and people and nation, for you made them to be a kingdom and be priests to serve our God, and they will rule and reign on the earth. That's what the new song was. The new song that you and I are a royal priesthood. We're no longer just citizens on earth, but we are citizens of heaven. That was the elders' worship. God, you're so awesome. You're actually going to use them? Wow! I'm sure the angels sometimes must go, I don't know, why are you using them? He said, because they're worth everything. They're worth my life. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them, saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And that could keep on going. The sentence never ends. Forever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. God is calling us to be a people of extravagant worship. to worship in him in all situations. Worship does not mean a performance up here. In fact, that's the last thing that God wants. While I'm the leader here, you will never have a church that will have a big black stage and lots of flashy lights and a black room where you can't see each other. In fact, I'm probably going to buck the trend. I'd like to see the timber painted white so it's actually really bright and light when we come in here. Because we don't come to worship, we don't come to church to worship the band. We come to worship the Lion of Judah. Together. You're just as much part of the worship team as what the people up here. They've just got the call or the opportunity to lead you into that place. But if you don't worship, I can tell you as someone who has led worship, if you don't actually go on the journey with us, you come off the stage going, oh my goodness, that was hard. But when you join in, oh, when we start to see God moving and people engaging in worship, oh, imagine what God feels like when we engage with him. When we get a revelation that he is who he is, that he is worthy of our praise. I'm going to jump back into the Old Testament. And this story is so important that it was written in Scripture twice. It was written first in Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and then it was written in 1 Chronicles 16, and that's where I'm going to, but the general story, you know, you've talked about it before, and I know everyone's grateful that I haven't done it, but this is when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back into Jerusalem. What struck me, there's two things that really struck me out of this story. If you don't know the story, the general thing is that the Ark of the Covenant was taken out to battle by Saul. Saul had defeated the Philistines, but he didn't bring the Ark of the Covenant back. He actually left the Ark of the Covenant in foreign land. David becomes king. One of his first few things that he did was actually to go and get the Ark of the Covenant because he wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be back in Jerusalem. Part of the reason was because the Ark of the Covenant was in the land, even though it was in foreign lands, Gentile lands, the people or that community where it was flourished. He goes, well, if that's happening there, I want it here because that's our God. Now, there was some things that happened on the journey. David didn't quite do it. David was an act and ask forgiveness later kind of guy. He built a cart, thought, I'll do it my way and do it that, and rather than getting the priest to carry it, which was the way it was meant to happen. And then at one point, the Ark of the Covenant was about to tip and someone touched it and he died. That's not a good day. Thank goodness the presence of God is... Think about that. Now the presence of God lives within us because of the new covenant. We have the presence of God, the very presence that actually killed this person because he reached out to touch it. He actually lives in us. That should stir some questions. So David and his fear went, well, we'll just leave the Ark of the Covenant here. And of course he looked back and went, oh, they're flourishing now because we better get this Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And he did. As it's coming in, he was so prepared that they had all the musicians, they had the songs, and they worshipped as it was coming into town. So exuberant was their worship that David danced semi-naked. He made a fool of himself in the context of the community and the society. He is the king, the dignified one, the one that was, think about what we've just experienced with the Queen's death and all of the pomp and ceremony around that. Could you imagine the Queen or King Charles dancing down the street in his jocks? That's what we're talking about here. So excited, so extravagant was he saying that the presence of God is coming. Are we excited for it? Marie said to me this morning, I'm so excited to be here because we get to have experience the presence of God together. It's like Christmas, but better. We should all be coming into this place. We've got the presence of God in us all day, every day. And I'm preaching to myself just as much because I get distracted. I get distracted by the stuff of life over here and the stuff of life over here, and I don't always default to the worship first. But I know when I do, it changes something. If I feel tension rising in my home, I put worship in the home and it changes stuff. It just does. But one thing that happened in this story was that here was Michal, Saul's wife, David's wife, looking out the window, looking at her husband. And he goes, and she got offended. She started making up all the stories the king shouldn't behave like that. You're making a fool of yourself. Probably thought, you're embarrassing me. Next time I go out with him and I'm seen with him, they're going to think of that. What's that mean about me? You know the stories. The result was, because she was offended, because she didn't see the heart of worship, didn't see the heart behind what David did, she became barren. She never had children. What if that was you and I, on a spiritual sense? Did you know that worship has probably been one of the most contentious issues in the church since day dot? You can't have drums. Hang on a sec. The drummers led people into battle. We didn't read that bit. Can't have electric guitars. Some people say, oh, you can only chant the Psalms. You're not singing enough hymns. You're only singing new stuff. You're singing only too old stuff. The debate has been intense. You're not singing the songs I like, so therefore I'm changing churches. I don't know whether I'm 100% right on this, but could that be one of the reasons why we've got spiritual barrenness in the church? That we haven't embraced a heart of worship? Because it doesn't matter whether we're singing How Great Thou Art or we're singing How Great Is Our God. Whether we're singing the brand new song out of Bethel Vertical, whether we write one here or whether we're singing a song from way back in history. It doesn't matter. It's this that matters. It's my heart relationship with the Father that matters. Because I'm not here just singing a song. If I was here, if I was going to go to church to get to experience the best song, no offense, Pam, but I wouldn't come here. And it's not because our worship's not good, but I'd pay money and I'd go to a concert. Michelle and I are going to go to Sting in February. We're paying money. Our boys have given us that as a present. We're going to sing. We're going to see, pay money to see a guy sing songs. It's not worship. But I will be here and make a joyful noise before our God and worship together with my family. Because that's actually the key. It's important to do it on our own, but it's important to do it together. It's important to go on those days where you'd much prefer to be still in bed, catching up on the hour of sleep that you lost overnight, rather than be here. Oh, that we wouldn't become barren because we actually neglect it. Or we actually look at other people and go, oh, I can't worship like that. I don't know what that is, because for some people it will mean flags, some people it will mean dancing and all of those things, some people it will be just laying flat on their face before God. It's not about how we worship, it's our heart towards our God. And we're going to go into an extended time of worship. Bill Johnson says in his book, Hosting a Presence, says, whenever someone despises extravagant worship, they put themselves in an extremely dangerous position. Barrenness is the natural result of despising worship. Gee, it makes a difference. In doing so, they are rejecting the reason why we're alive. Barrenness and the absence of worship go hand in hand. The scene happened again during Jesus' ministry. It was a costly ointment was poured out over Jesus. All the disciples were upset. The devil actually doesn't mind worship that is tame. Do you get that line? Extreme worship exposes religion in everyone. What I feel like for the end of our service this morning is that we are to bring a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to invite you to get out of your comfort zone and worship. Not just sing a song. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I felt at the start of our service, and maybe there's some more words around this, and if anyone has a specific word, then share it with myself or Jill about some of these things. In a moment. And yeah, just share it with us and we'll that. But I just have this sense that there is some of you who speak about yourself in ways that is actually really offensive to God. You look at yourself in the mirror and you speak words over yourself, and they're not words from the Father. And the Father wants you to begin seeing yourself through Father's eyes. He wants to break off those things. Maybe for some of you, to show a bit of emotion and get a bit excited about stuff in worship is so contrary to what you were taught as a young person in church. Because one of the lies that our young people should be seen and not heard, it's a load of rubbish. Jesus says, come to me as little children. We should hear the kids. Do they sometimes distract us? Absolutely. Anyone who's been a parent knows that when you're trying to do something really important is when they're the most distracting at home. But we sort of taught, I can't raise my hands, or I can't come out the front, or I can't dance, or I can't whatever. Because that's not proper worship. That's not dignified. That's not respectful. Well, David ran around in his jocks. And then when his wife got offended, he said, I'll do it all the more. Because I'd be much prefer to be undignified before my God and worship him. I I don't know what it looks like for you to give a sacrifice of praise. Maybe part of the sacrifice of praise is actually bringing down the wall that you've put up to actually try and protect your own heart. Maybe there's someone in this place today that's actually walked in and they're actually falling apart, but they've put their church face on. And they have to give themselves permission just to fully fall apart and worship God in the midst of it. That's okay. If you can't do it here, where can you do it? I don't know. I don't know your story. I don't know everyone's story. I don't know where everyone's at as you've walked in this place today. But that was the call, and I know that, that was what Jill had on her heart. Can the worship team come, please? I don't know how long this is going to go on for. Our services, I know Irish should probably come back, and our services now go to all about, they don't organise lunch at 12 o'clock anymore. It won't work for you if you want to hang around. But let's extravagantly worship our God together. If it's getting up off your feet and coming down the front and kneeling at the front, if you feel like that's what God's calling you to do, then do it. If it's to walk around the back and just sit around the back, that's fine too. But we are called to engage in worship. We are not meant to be spectators in any way, shape or form. As I've already said, these guys are not, they might be our worship team as far as the service, but you are the worship team. All of us, whether it's here, whether it's there, doesn't matter. And I know we're going to start with No Long Slaves, is that right? One of the greatest things that stops us from truly embracing our role as sons and daughters and to worship our God is the fear of what somebody next to me thinks. Father, I ask you to break that in Jesus' name. That the fear of man be broken and we can worship you in spirit and truth this morning. May our heart be to worship the God who gave us all considerate pure joy to, so that we could come into a relationship with him. And we get to worship him. We get to worship the God of the universe. There's something that God wants to do in this moment. So that...
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.